Christ is risen.
Truly
risen. Christos anesti.
Alleluia.
Christos vos gracias.
Christos vos gracias.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As you noticed, the epistle was very long, and the gospel was very long. So, the question is, how do we condense this into something that can be understood? And I think first we should actually ask ourselves, how do we hear the gospel? And I think first, when we hear or read the gospel, we try to understand what it says, put the narrative together. But the second thing that we have to do is look at the gospel as a window into the light of Christ, and even a mirror that shines upon us and that we see ourselves. Because when we read the Holy Gospel, I think that we need to examine ourselves. And we need to see, how does this apply to me? And how does it apply to my pilgrimage towards salvation? The first part of today's Gospel, we see that there is a blind man. And he's been blind since his birth. And his disciples asked him, "Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, or that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." And this is fascinating, because these are his disciples, and they are in the process of learning, and they are actually, I like to think that the three years that the apostles spent with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ was their catechumenate. It was their time to learn and come to understand the Holy Gospel and the events of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and to understand this. And so they have this little bit of baggage from the Jews, and who are always asking, "Well, something terrible happened, you know, whose fault was it? Was it the parents, or was it himself?" And so, and the Savior tells them, "Neither hath this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." And I think that this, in a sense, is a universal saying. It's not just specific to this particular story, which is a story and an account, but it has the markings of also a parable. Namely, when we look out at the world, we see many, many difficulties and many different problems, and we also find in our own lives and our personal relationships many difficulties. And the question, you know, arises, is this the result of someone's sin? And of course, it's a very good question. There are times when, in fact, our sin does bring about great grief. But it's also true that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ gave us this struggle with our weakness and with our sin to bring us to faith, so that we would learn to turn to him, not to, as it were, bury ourselves in our own self-pity and our own pride, but to turn to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ for the answer. And the answer really has more to do not with what caused this, but what is in me, what is in my heart, and what must I know about myself. And the Savior goes on and says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light And this is amazing. The Savior, as it were, is the dayspring from on high, who brings the light of salvation into the world. And life without our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is darkness. It is the night, the everlasting night. Without the light of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, we live in darkness. And when he had spoken thus, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, And this is an amazing thing, that our Savior takes spittle or saliva and mixes it with the dust and the clay, and he makes this clay and he lays it upon the eyes, the blind eyes of the blind man. And he sends him off to wash in the pool of Siloam. And the blind man, he responded appropriately. He went his way to the pool. And he washed, and he came seeing. Namely, he heard the words of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and he obeyed. He accepted them, and he obeyed. And amazingly, it's not clear at this point what level of faith that he has, but he heard the words, and he went, and he washed, and he came seeing. He obeyed. And it's a message. All the gospel is always a message to all of us. Do we hear the words of God? Do we listen carefully? Do we obey them? And do we, as it were, through obedience to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, receive the sight? And I think this is what the parable is all about. Yes, it's about a miracle, but the miracle is the vehicle to reveal to you and I our need to pursue the ability to see our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we see him through his words. We see him through his actions. We see him in the life of the church. And we see him, as it were, in our prayers and in our contemplation of his word. We need to see our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And what's fascinating is here the man who's blind, he is seeing. He is seeing because of his obedience. He went, he washed, and he came seeing. And obviously, there's a deeper kind of seeing which will be developed. And so, there's a reaction to this. The neighbors say is this not he? Who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Another said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And this is fascinating because here we have these neighbors and they are in a state of disbelief. And they're questioning, how did you come to see? And is it possible that you're not the same person? And it's someone else. And he says, no, I am that person that was blind, and now I see. And the man answers, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. But let's look at this. He said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. And clearly the blind man understands and understood in that moment that the Jews already were persecuting our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and you'll see later on that they punished those Jews who recognized them. They excluded them from synagogue worship and from the temple. And here this man is now not only confessing what happened, but he's doing it in the face of persecution, which really makes confession, gives confession substance. That we, in the face of adversity or persecution, confess that our Lord, that Jesus is our Lord and God and Savior. And which is another window for us to look at ourselves. We can say, well, you know, of course I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I say this in my prayers, etc., etc., etc. But the question really is, if we truly confess that Jesus is our Lord, would we not want to find out exactly what our responsibilities are as Christians and to do exactly what he has said to us, and to not only do it to the letter, but with increase of love and with increase of fervor and to what reason? So that we could see what? That we could see the light of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. That we could be like the blind man and see, because brothers and sisters in Christ our God, we are blind. In many, many ways we are blind. We live in a little world that's been structured by what we like and what we don't like, and what we don't like we block out of our world, or we like, we pursue. And very often what we like and pursue is not consistent with the teachings and the word of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so it is, an examination begins. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, but he keepeth not the Sabbath. Another said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And I wonder, certainly, I mean, we wouldn't want to confess, would we, in any way, even in secret, that in any way that we question our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, or that, I mean, would we ever in our faith and in our love of God, would we ever push our Savior out of our mind? Would we do that? And it's a good question to ask, because there are times, I remember hearing this stories and people, Orthodox people that had grown up in generations and generations of Orthodoxy, and they would gather people, and then the party would become, you know, very raucous, and they'd take all the icons and turn them over, to separate themselves from the light of Christ. And we can laugh about this, but do we ever do that psychologically? Do we just pull that inner psychological shade and separate ourselves from the light of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? And we need to ask this. And so they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he opened thine eyes? And he answered, he is a prophet. Now here, he's confessing. And then they go to the question. They go to the parents. And the Jews did not believe, as it goes on, it says, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he see now see? His parents are very clever. Listen to the answer. And the parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. So here it is. They have to, it's a material fact and it's known by others. So they have no choice. They've got to admit that, yes, this is our son, and he was born blind. But when it comes to how it is that he can now see, they want no part of this. Who hath opened his eyes? We know not, it says. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. And this is great, in a sense. He's old enough, you know. He's the one to ask. But, of course, what are they doing? They're shielding themselves because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, and ask him. And then again, the blind man is confronted. And they again called him that was blind and said unto him, "Give God praise, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, I was blind, and now I can see." This is very, very matter of fact, and it's very strong, and it's very bold. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he your eyes? And he answered them, "I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, if ye hear it again, will you also be his disciples?" And so it's fascinating because so that those who are questioning are being revealed to be not only blind, but now they're deaf. They're deaf and blind. They cannot hear the Gospels. And then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." And then the blind man responds again, "Why, here is a marvelous thing that ye know not where he comes from, and yet he has opened mine eyes. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." And this is very interesting. Born blind. People who had been blind had been healed. And what the Holy Fathers say is that he was actually born without eyes. And that the spittle, which became clay, was pushed into his eyes. And when he washed in Siloam, the organs of his eyes were restored so that he could see. And obviously, not only see with his physical eyes, but see with his spiritual eyes, as we see. "And they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Do you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him." And this is an amazing, of course, this is an amazing account and an amazing story. What's fascinating, I think, in our lives is that we are profoundly blind. And we are profoundly deaf. And I say this with great seriousness and urgency. And I think what it comes down to is that we're blind because we really want two worlds. We don't want one world. We want two worlds. And what are the two worlds? One world is called the world with all of its pride and its pompousness and so on, and all of its sensuality and all of the things that it gives us and the honor and so on. That's the world. And then there is the kingdom of God. And that is the true world. And we want a little bit of both. And I think the problem is that this doesn't work. It simply does not work. And the question, of course, why doesn't it work? Because the world has become so powerful and strong. I mean, look at what is going on around us. If you don't think the power of the world, the power of darkness, is overwhelming our society. It is. And it's penetrating us. And we have fallen prey to every device there is of the devil. That enters into our lives, confuses us, and really, basically convinces us that, well, I'll just live my life in the world and I'll give just a little bit of time to my prayers and a little bit of time to participation in the life of Christ. And amazingly, he who is God incarnate, and I say this, the eternal God on high has become incarnate. And he has become incarnated in the Holy Church. This is the body of Christ, brothers and sisters of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. It is the incarnate body of Christ. And the light of Christ shines through the Holy Church. And it lives in the church. We participate in all of the mysteries that Christ revealed. We participate in the mystery of partaking of his body and blood. And I think that where we are, personally, and I think also as a community, is we have to decide what we're going to give our life to the world and what we're going to give to the Holy Church. And obviously, participation is one of the key elements, to participate and to literally fight the battle against the world which tries to tear us away. And it happens continuously and ongoing. And we need to fight this fight. We need to confess our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. To remain truly Orthodox Christians. To say our prayers. And to participate in the divine services. And try to come to the services on time. They begin at a certain time and they end at a certain time. It's not too much. It's not too much for us. We need to try to participate fully and not make us sort of like an adjunct to everything else. And I pray that we as a little parish and a family in Christ will find our way to full participation in the life of Christ through the divine services and through the support of the church, because this is what we must do in order to preserve what we have. Preserve it, not for others so much, but for ourselves. Because if we preserve it for ourselves, then we will preserve it for our children and for our grandchildren and for those who come to worship among us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.